Thanks, Rob. It's Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Greg Flamm will be here for the swap meet, 312-981-7200. If you got something that you've collected over the years, some memorabilia. We were talking about White Sox stuff. Now that we're the broadcast partner for the White Sox, every week I get calls and texts for White Sox memorabilia. Tonight's the night that we feature it, right? Does that sound like a good idea? I should have told Greg that.
Yeah. Get your portrait that you got of Ralph Garr from the Dominics.
There's got to be a lot of good stuff. I've told this story before on the show that I did get an Ozzie Guillen foul ball. He was playing. He bunted it backwards, and we had great seats. It was like it was one of those games, classic White Sox, where you know you keep moving down, you keep moving down, and the next thing you know, you're in the second row, and then the people in the front row are like, "We're leaving." It's like sixth inning, and so we were 12 years old or whatever it was, and we're like, "Whoa!" And Ozzie Guillen was supposed to bunt a guy over, and he popped it up. He kind of line drived it back, and it hit my friend's dad on the chest. Because he had two beers in his hands, because it was the seventh inning and they need to get him before, so he wouldn't drop the beers. So he like it hit him like a slug, like, and then I reached down and got it. That's how I got it. He was so mad, and he was also like kind of like a, you know, he's kind of a jerk about it in ways like, well, that was mine. Well, all right, I'm 12. Deal with it. You know, like deal with it anyway. So, yeah, so that's coming up in the swap meet, 312-981-7200. Well, some might say that society has already made the legal system into a hilarious game show. But if that's too on the nose, then instead head over to Laugh Factory for a monthly showcase, Everyone's a Lawyer. It's a show that has comics arguing their points as if they were lawyers in a courthouse complete with judges and contestants. It's the brainchild of Paul Farver. Paul is a regular on Patty's show, and he also holds the distinction of both being a stand-up and an attorney, and he's with us tonight. Paul, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good to see you, Justin.
Usually see you after 11 o'clock and yeah. Switch over the show, so good to have you here.
Right, right. Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for saying it's a distinction to be stand-up and a lawyer. Makes it sound like it's a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a lot of stand-ups probably have. Lawyers maybe more than stand-ups the other way around. But all right, so yeah. Let me ask you about Everyone's a Lawyer,
yeah.
Because it is a game show style. Talk about where this idea came from.
So I was in LA pitching I had another show about dating called Drink Date Laugh. It's like a singles only type show, which is similar to my podcast. And I talked to some people and they were like, you need to do something that's unique to you and that you only you know about and make it different. And a lot of people said do something with law, and I was like, okay. And I talk about being a lawyer on stage a lot, so I figured a lot of comedians always talk about the law, and yeah. It was kind of funny listening to them try to decipher things that I do or try to figure out what it is that I did as a lawyer, because I did insurance defense work, which is not really exciting. And then so I just kind of was like, maybe I can make this into something. And I love competition. I love game show aspect stuff. So I created this show where it's like, okay, comedians can act as lawyers, and it kind of took off on its own. Like it was going to be a one-off type thing, and then it became a monthly show at the Laugh.
It's a great idea. I mean, it's a perfect premise, because whatever the bid is, I mean, whatever you're going to throw out to be what they're arguing, two comics arguing with each other,
right?
I mean, you're going to get some great stuff,
right? Oh, actually, it's three comics, and yeah, they do an opening. They basically compete to be the lawyer. So they do an opening statement, and whatever that means to them. And sometimes it's funny. Like we've had comedians like totally ham it up, like something they've seen on TV. We've seen other people just kind of like make a plea, like using, you know, just trying to be funny or just guilt sometimes, because they want the audience decides who wins,
right?
And then we talk about stuff that's in the news, like legal stuff. This week we're going to definitely cover for the First Amendment and the national anthem with Fergie mm-hmm. singing, whether there should be limitations. And then we do real life stories, like real life cases we've talked about. And then we have two producers, Zaheb Ghazi, who's actually a lawyer, who keeps it on the up and up, make sure I don't screw things up by explaining things or gives objections to comedians when they say something completely off the cuff.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. And then we have Alex Dragovich, who's a comedian who used to be a basketball player. So we kind of use him in like different roles on stage, and comedians have to address certain issues.
And at the end, I mean, is it the audience that decides who made the best compelling argument?
Yeah, they have a closing argument. And then that's kind of, the closing argument is kind of a little of roast too. So they kind of make fun of the other comedians. So that's been really fun hearing the different comedians make fun of the other comedians. We've had Derek Smith, who's an amazing comedian locally in Chicago. He's won the last 3 weeks, so he's on a roll right now.
And, what is it about Derek's performance do you think that the audience loves? What is it? Is he just spot on? He's hitting every joke? Or is he actually compelling in what he does to persuade you on his argument?
He does a combination of doing his research before, because right before the show, we give the topics to the comedian so they can talk, they can look it up and decide how they're going to address it. He does his homework, and he's likable, and he has this way about it when he's on stage. And actually, Adam Burke had a name for him. He called him, I think he was Grizzly Bear Matlock in terms of... Because he's just like this hipster Matlock on stage, and it was just funny watching. He just crushes the closing argument.
And he say, I mean, what you just mentioned, just doing your research, likability, and of course your presentation, your performance. But that, I mean, in a nutshell, is stand up comedy. I mean,
yeah.
there's a lot of people think that stand ups are going to get up on stage and just whatever's in front of them, they're gonna riff on, and they're just innately funny. But there is a lot of research, and there is a lot of preparation that goes into even being off the cuff.
Right. We're nothing if we're not accurate. That's what I like to say. But yeah, I mean, it is likability. I think for me, when I started doing comedy, for me, it was a lot easier because I was comfortable talking. And I think one of the local bookers, when I was first starting, was like, well, you're really likable on stage. It was like a backhanded compliment. Like when I wasn't, my material wasn't there yet. And I think that's true. It's a big part of it. And comedians have to be likable or... Really
is it good? Something you can fix if you're not? I mean, because I always think about there are some, you know, when you talk about extroverts and introverts and this idea of personality on stage, is it something that a comic can have great material but is not likable? And yeah. Can they fix that?
I think there are certain comedians who are intentionally unlikable, they win over the audiences. I think some of the best comics start off, they like digging themselves a hole right up top, being offensive,
yeah,
or whatever, and watching them come out is pretty fun.
That's great. I always wonder, too, because we can ask it, and I love having you here because we can talk about both comedy and the law,
yeah.
But when I think about lawyers as well, I mean, because it's similarities, and because some lawyers will not see it as a performance; it's an actual profession.
Yeah.
But there is this likability that goes into presenting a case and representing a client, and practicing either in front of a judge or a jury.
Right, I think that's huge. For me, I was a trial lawyer, and I still practice a little bit. For me, I think what comedy brought to me after I did comedy, I did improv before that. When I went back to practicing law, it changed everything for me. A lot of lawyers dig themselves their own holes when they're arguing. It's a lot like comedy. You're arguing with a judge every day. You're an emotion call. It's almost like an open mic. You sign up to get heard, and then instead of like doing 5 minutes of bits, you're getting yelled at by a judge because you haven't settled a case. So there's a lot of commonalities, but from improv and from stand-up, you learn to listen, to be able to read your audience, which is often a judge when you're doing motions, or a jury if you're doing a trial. And I think that likability, especially for a jury trial or for a jury, is important. And I think the one thing that stand-up and improv has done for me is made me a better lawyer.
Well, let's talk more about that. Paul Farvar in studio tonight. He is the man behind Everyone's a Lawyer, the showcase at the Laugh Factory, the legal game show, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is on stage at Laugh Factory on Sunday, this upcoming Sunday the 25th. Paul, of course, also regular on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. You hear him regularly, if not every week, right?
Yeah.
Around
yeah.
that time. Paul, sit tight. We'll take a quick break, come back, continue the conversation. Stay with us. In studio tonight, Paul Farvar. Paul, a stand-up comedian and attorney. He's also a regular on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and he's got a show at the Laugh Factory, a monthly showcase called Everyone's a Lawyer, which is a game show format where comedians act as lawyers, and the audience gets to pick the winner at the end.
Yeah, we have a suggestion box where we go through comedians. The audience gets a list of things they want us to talk about, and we have a section where we do that if they're good questions. But sometimes
people
put like real legal questions. They're like, "So I'm having this divorce." I'm like, "You guys, I don't know what you think. You walked in, it said Laugh Factory, and you see these guys talking. Why do you want them to answer your
question? Yeah, right. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
right.
It was kind of fun, but it's happened every show so far. We've done like five, and then there's like a real legal question. Because, I mean, I
yeah,
do the
I get
intro,
yeah.
and I say I'm a lawyer, but I mean, I talk about my when I do the hosting up top, but it's just so funny. And those are fun to do. And then, but yeah, most of it is the lawyers doing the issues that are in the news, whether yeah. it's law. We try to avoid politics, but obviously sometimes we got to
yeah,
talk about it.
I was going to say, I mean, issues like this week when there's a national debate about gun control.
Yeah.
I mean, those topics are a little tougher to make a,
yeah.
a game show around.
People don't, in my opinion, if it's something that just happened, people are trying to go to comedy shows to avoid dealing mm-hmm, with that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we try to avoid it. But, the ones that are like easily to mock, we've done in the past.
Yeah, right.
But mostly it's legal stuff. It's like the way I describe it is the show At Midnight on Comedy Central meets Wait, Don't Tell Me in Judge Judy's Chamber. That's
that's great.
The only
that's
way
great.
I can describe it.
I get
it's
it.
Fun
that's,
show.
That works.
Yeah.
And so I love I want to get back to the legal conversation because
sure.
you were talking about how you have learned a lot about your work, about being a lawyer
yeah.
from your work in comedy. And you mentioned that a lot of times you go in front of a judge and it's kind of like an open mic.
Yeah.
And you say that the judge really is kind of mad because you haven't settled your case. Tell me more about this.
Yes.
I'm interested in this.
Sure. So most of practicing law when you're a litigator is going to court for status hearings, updates, case management, so making sure you did the discovery, like getting depositions done and getting ready for a trial date. But, at the Daly Center, at least here in Chicago or the federal building when you're doing federal cases, a lot of the times you're not going to meet those deadlines. It's impossible. Things out, someone's out of town, whatever. And so judges are pissed. And, it's just you go up there and you have to ask the judge for an extension of time, whatever it is. And
you go up there with the other
with the other attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a status hearing, and that's like probably 80% of practicing litigation, to be honest. And it's like monthly or 2 months. And what I've learned as a comedian is just like watch the judge and see, what she or he is saying and or not saying and reacting. When I was a younger comic or a younger lawyer, you would just bury yourself. You would just argue the stuff that this is what the law says. That doesn't matter. If the judge wants to hear what she or he wants to hear, that's what you do.
That's so interesting. So you've learned to listen, but also to adjust the way you approach the work through because of your work in comedy.
100%. If I went back to practicing law full time, I would be a way better lawyer than I was when I was a younger, I should say like astute lawyer, where I like did all the research, showed up well prepared, because you do all this research and you prepare for a motion or whatever, but sometimes you don't need to say anything. The judge is already on your side. And I've seen other lawyers go up to the judge. The judge is already on your side. Don't say anything.
Shut up.
And then it just happened today. Like I was in court and I saw this guy. I'm like, the judge has already made up his mind. Do not say anything. And sure enough, like, they get more questions, and then the judge starts rethinking what he was saying.
And they argue themselves out of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a big part of lawyering, right? That's
yeah.
a big part of understanding what cards you hold and which cards you don't, and
right.
it's just trying to figure out where the judge is at.
And that the show kind of presents that in a way, because you have these comedians who are really good at comedy and really good at what they do and reading an audience or but it's funny that, and that's why we have Zaheb Ghazi, who's a lawyer, to just put them in check. Because sometimes you'll have these guys like Derek or Ross Kelly was another example, who says this amazing thing. And you can hear the audience is on board. They're laughing and everything. But then we're like, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. But like, you have to like correct it because it's so funny.
I was going to say, okay, so one, we talked about likability in these comedians.
Yeah.
But are the comedians more interested in when we talk about their livelihood, they're interested in making audiences laugh.
Yes.
In this case, are they more interested in making the audiences laugh, or are they more interested in winning the case?
I think when it's the same thing. If someone has made the audience laugh, they're going to win the show. And sometimes you'll have people who are that they said things that were probably right, or and we call them out. Like, we had a comedian who said the right things. Like, it was almost like, this is why shit. It was almost like a soapbox, and I called her out on it. My friend Jeannie Duke, and I'm like, okay, when you're done with your soapbox, let's focus on the show. And everyone, you know, you have to put them in check. But yeah, I think if you get the most laughs, typically you end up winning the show. And the comics are all, like, we've got the best this week we have Derek Smith, the returning champion, Calvin Evans, who has been on every channel. You know, he's been on Shameless, he's been on Comedy Central, and one of my favorite comedians, regular at the Laugh Factory, Joe McMahon from Florida. It's going to be an interesting, and we pick a different lineup every week to just make sure they play off each other. Adam Burke is a regular who's already on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Yeah. Marty DeRosa is a regular on it. So we put them all in. It's pretty fun.
I mean, it's great, and I guess I think about the life of a stand-up comedian, and a lot of it is trying to persuade audiences to see where they're coming from and make the joke. For you, as somebody who does both, who still practices law but also does stand-up and does not just this show but the dating show on Friday and other stuff that you do, how do you make time for it? How do you find – are you in a position as not just an artist but a professional where – you know, you have to choose one or another at some point to be really, really good at it?
Yeah. I was a partner at a law firm, and I quit that to practice to do full-time comedy. So I did that. I made that decision 2 years ago, and that's freed up my creative brain in terms of writing and being able to travel to do comedy. So I've made that decision. But in terms of when I still practice a little bit as a part-time lawyer, it does kill your – you know, your social life. So dating has been pretty hard. But, like, I mean, it's hard because you do a show and then you want to go. And I talk about it on my podcast, Singles Only, where, you know, they're like, okay, do you want to go to dinner? We can go at 5 or at 10 o'clock. So it's – and the people are like, wait, 10 o'clock? I'm like, yeah, see, I have this show. And that's when I
– Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And it's something that I would assume a lot of people are like, well, just skip the show. You can't skip the show. That's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I was dating someone that – and a lot of times you get shows last minute. You get a huge opportunity. I had a show opening for an amazing comic at the Vic Theater, T.J. Miller. I had plans that night to go out with the girl I was dating at the time, but I had to cancel it, obviously, to do the thing. And she didn't understand, like – why are you you know, I'm like, this is one of the biggest opportunities in my life. Like, we have to cancel what we made plans for.
Well, you have to come back because I feel like we could do a whole hour on just that. The issues of what the flexibility of being a comic and what you have to give up to do so. Paul Farvar, his show, Everyone's a Lawyer, is Sunday nights. It is this Sunday, at Laugh Factory up at Belmont and Halsted.
Belmont and Broadway.
Belmont and Broadway in the Lakeview area. Sorry about that. Paul, of course, was podcast, and you can hear him regularly on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez here on the show. Paul, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Justin. It was really fun.